live from the Clevelander here in downtown Cleveland ahead of the Cavaliers' home opener, game two of the season, but game one of the home slate coming up tonight in downtown Cleveland. Stop by and see us. We love seeing all your smiley, happy faces. We've already seen a few of you guys. I'd love to see more of you as well as we get going. I will tell you, so occasionally people come up, Spencer, and they'll take pictures of us or, you know, even like we're here courtesy of our friends at McUltra. They'll take pictures of us, you know, to put on the website or whatever, or for proof that we actually showed up and did this. And so somebody was actually coming up to take a picture. And Mac, I saw it in the periphery of my eye. Mac leaned back and did like a pose, like a stance of
his
like
pose.
I'm his stoic, Mac Robinson.
His stoic Mac.
I'm Mac Robinson, and I am
good-looking. I'm the engineer of this program.
And I will engineer this program as soon as you snap that picture. And I really wish everyone could have seen. It was almost like a power pose. You know, like power suit, power tie. Like, I imagine, like, in his mind, he's like, I have a tie on now. I have it. Look, see, right? So we're getting a picture. I just did the Mac pose for the picture of this. Yep. Did you see it?
I didn't see him do it, but then I heard you in real talk. Because here's the problem. I'm on the other end, the other side of the table.
Yeah.
So my back is to where all the photographers are. So they're all taking – they're just taking pictures basically of the back of my head when they're taking all these pictures. So people are going to – now we're getting one taken where I can actually look. There we go.
Yeah.
No.
I also like that you said all the photographers are as if there is just
– Yeah, we've got an entire scrum of photographers.
We've got paparazzi here. Like, guys, please, we're in studio.
We heard
in
the call on
here.
The radio. Come yeah. see us. Come take our yeah. picture. And they all showed up.
Yeah.
So, no, I missed Mac doing this in real time. But, yeah, I heard you definitely give him crap for it. Yeah.
It's a very good glow up. Not as good of a glow up as Evan Mobley's
so
game.
So what is your like, if somebody quickly, like, pulls up the front, like, quick, we're taking a picture, like, what's the thing that you –
Sarcastic thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one. It never – because then you get the general mischievousness of me. You understand kind of how I am.
In college,
like, it encapsulates my nonsense.
In college, the number of pictures that you would look at from, like, your friends and, like, the quick snapping of a photo, the girls always would have their hand on their hip like
yep.
this. And they'd, like, kick the other hip out. It, like, a little kick out with the hip and the hand on the hip. That was always the go-to
All of
for
the,
women in college.
Almost every college photo of me has been stricken from the internet because –
Too many red solo cups?
No, it's because the people who posted them are like, ooh, not a good look for my potential employer. Like, there are –
So you're less worried about that. It's the other people that are worried about
it. I work in radio. There's no winning here. Like, the reason why I joined this is, you know, I'm unprofessional and that I'm messy and a sloppy drunk.
What's the limit of what type of photo you would have on the online that would prevent you from getting a job in radio?
None. Yeah, unless it's like
fully nude.
Unless it's like a furry convention or like a Klan rally, I think you're pretty safe. And honestly, I think there's a station in town, if you have gone to a Klan rally, that might hire you.
Oh.
Is that too soon?
You want to drop
is that too fast for everybody? Should we just stick and move?
Probably should stick and move on that one.
Okay. Just saying. All right, guys. So, Evan Mobley, what you think?
Well, I don't think he's he's listening to that station,
okay.
That's for sure.
I was going to say,
no,
don't
no,
go.
No, I don't think he's listening to that radio station. But I do think that he's clearly been working very hard in this game.
Yeah.
And I think the debut of Kenny Atkinson coaching this team and trying to take the evolution of Evan Mobley to the next level was – I mean, he passed the eye test, right? Like, he did everything you wanted. You saw him – being sort of the premier ball carrier and orchestrating the offense through him. You saw him being more aggressive. I mean, I thought he made Scotty Barnes' life like a living hell the other night, which I think there's a little bit of like a revenge factor there, like looking back on like the rookie of the year thing when they both came out. But I thought we saw sort of a different version of Evan Mobley where he's attacking the basket. He has this nice spin move in his game now. And it's what we've been waiting to see from him the last couple of years. So to finally get to that point where we're seeing it, I think was super encouraging.
So I got to tell you, got a few texts real quick. Sorry. One defense of why it has taken Evan this long to do what he did in game one that does trouble me a little bit is this narrative of, well, you know, maybe he just wasn't ready, which I think is a fair conversation. But I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, this Evan Mobley showed up and there's a new head coach.
Yeah.
And that doesn't – I want to make it clear. Like, sometimes not every coaching style fits for every player. And I do think, you know, this relationship started and then you threw Donovan Mitchell in. And, that, like, there were so many things that I think complicated JB's job trying to develop him, because I think JB was trying to wrestle with both things. And I'm not trying to say, like – oh, this should have happened earlier, but I think it's a weird thing to throw away. That new head coach, best game, most authoritative game we've seen from Evan Mobley, and then people go, well, it probably wouldn't have happened with JB because, well, just Evan wasn't ready. Those were the same people all last year hammering Evan for not being ready to make the third-year jump.
Well, but I also think, like, on some level, like, JB would say he was going to do these things with Evan Mobley, but then you would never see him. And I think that was part of what people got frustrated with JB at the end, was just the fact that, you know, he talked this talk of, we want Evan Mobley to be more involved, we want him to shoot more threes, but then he wasn't actually doing it. And then he was hurt for a while, came back, and then he started shooting more threes, and it was like at that point it was too little too late, because you knew he had to sort of develop that a little bit sooner. So I just don't know that there was ever like a – he made it sound like there was a clear vision for where Evan Mobley was supposed to go, but we never saw it play out on the court. And we saw a coach – say that he was going to do something and actually do it with that player in game one. And again, small sample size, it's one game. But it was a step in the right direction towards believing that Evan Mobley can take that next leap that we've all been thinking he was going to take. My question for you, Nick, that I sort of mentioned a little bit earlier, is that leap the thing that's preventing this team from making that deep playoff run and actually being a title contender? Like, is that the missing piece? Was just Evan Mobley becoming this star in this league and playing alongside Donovan Mitchell, or is there more they're going to need to do?
Yes, for a few different reasons. One, a really active, dominant, big on the offensive side with that kind of length and that kind of ability. It's going to free you up to make a decision between him and Jared. And then the other thing is, you're going to be able to put more size and more shooting around Darius and Donovan. So even if those two guys stay, Evan's emergence as an offensive player and the continued emergence as a five, I think opens up the world. But just on the – Donovan is having to do too much in the regular season. And I think if you look to why he's wearing down, it's not just about the minutes. It is about the workload. And I think if you think back to LeBron and Kyrie, or LeBron and D-Wade, or LeBron in any of the iteration – the times where LeBron was his best in the finals is when he's been able to take a little off here and take a little off here. And he's been able to cede games to another player. So Donovan's not going to suddenly get to 6'7", 250 pounds. He's not. The best thing you can do, like, we're focused on, well, Evan doing this in the playoffs, how does that change the math? I'm so interested to see how does it change the math in the regular season. Because I would imagine the key to keeping Donovan from having those moments where, like, final 20 games, he looked worn out. I think the key is having another player that can just take over games and say, hey, tonight's a night where Evan's got to win you the game and score 30. I think that's a huge, huge thing just in the regular season that raises your ceiling beyond the 48.5 win mark on FanDuel.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, like, I do think a team like the Knicks got so much better this offseason and the moves that they made, that I still sometimes wonder, like, how close they're going to be to a team like that come playoff time once they kind of get things figured out and they get rolling, because obviously they got blown out their first game, but it was the first game of the season. But I, like, maybe we don't know the full answer to this question yet, but I definitely think Evan's ability to become that player, become that number, the player that can be interchangeable as a number one or a number two alongside Donovan, and they can work off of each other, I think it gets you closer to being that championship caliber team. Even if your ceiling becomes like the conference championship now, like, at least you're there, you're on the doorstep, and then you can figure out how to tweak things further. But I've said all along, I thought, like, that was the next natural thing that needed to happen. So just to be able to see that now is massive and something that gives me hope for the direction of this team moving forward. And then look, if we get to January and you're realizing that Donovan and Evan are playing really well off of each other, but maybe Darius is having to take a back seat and he just isn't providing the punch that you need. Like, maybe that then does opens you up to then make that trade. But I on some level, I understand the organization, like, before they jump to that conclusion, being like, well, let's see what Evan Mobley's getting with a coach who can actually pull that out of him, what that does for us before we just decide, let's change these massive pieces and get these players out of here that we either helped develop or we brought in when they were earlier in their career and they've now become sort of a staple part of this team. So I like the direction things are heading, and I do think Evan gets you closer to that next step. And it's just about, like, figuring out how it all fits around him. But this is major. It is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably impossible to properly illustrate how Evan playing like this in the playoffs and playing like this for a full season, how it changes the math for the Cavs. Like, I think it's something, and I think a lot of it is because we've just speculated Evan's ceiling because he's 7'1" and has all these, I think it's impossible to truly illustrate it. And I think that's what makes the season so exciting, is because if he does it enough in the regular season, right, 50 out of 82 games, if he's that guy that he was on Wednesday, it's going to be the thing that you didn't have in the two previous attempts in the playoffs. So we're still projecting, but it's going to give you a lot more faith that, especially deeper in the playoffs, that size and that unicornness can take over to a series there.